Okay, so I want you to picture a scenario. It's Monday morning.
Uh-oh.
You walk into your weekly sales meeting. The coffee's lukewarm. The mood is tense. And you look the VP of sales directly in the eye and say, "I have the solution. I'm going to go buy an email list."
I can practically hear the pin drop from here. That is a brave move.
Right. It feels like you just suggested we start laundering money or selling bootleg DVDs out of the lobby. It just feels dirty.
It definitely triggers a visceral reaction. For most professionals, I think the phrase buying a list is synonymous with, spam, shady data brokers,
Rapturian princess.
Nigerian princes, and getting your corporate domain blacklisted by Google before you even get to lunch.
Exactly. It feels archaic, like the digital equivalent of a trench coat salesman opening his jacket in an alleyway. But, and this is why we're here today, we have a guide in front of us that suggests we might be looking at this completely backward.
Or at least looking at the 2015 version of the problem.
Yeah.
It has evolved. The source we're analyzing is a really comprehensive guide from Reach Marketing. It's dated February 4, 2026. And the title is How to Buy Email Lists Safely and Effectively.
Okay.
And the core argument is fascinating. It's that in the modern B2B landscape, if you're doing it right, you're not buying a list, you're acquiring structured contact intelligence.
Structured contact intelligence. See, that already sounds like something I can put on a slide deck without getting fired. It sounds strategic.
It is strategic, and the mission for this deep dive is to unpack that concept. We are not talking about annoying strangers with bulk spam. We're going to explore how modern organizations use this purchase data to, accelerate pipeline,
Right.
to validate new markets instantly, and find those needle in a haystack prospects that, frankly, inbound marketing just can't reach sometimes.
So if you are listening to this and your knee-jerk reaction is never ever buy data, stick with us. We are going to break down the difference between bulk spam and strategic prospecting. And this is the part I'm really interested in, the actual technical infrastructure you need to build so you don't burn your company's reputation to the ground.
Which is the most common mistake. People buy the data, but they skip all the safety protocols.
So let's start by defining the beast.
Yes.
Because I think buying a list is such a loaded term. It carries a lot of baggage.
Yeah.
What are we actually buying when we do this the right way?
Well, the confusion comes from blending two totally different worlds, consumer bulk marketing and B2B prospecting.
Okay.
Bulk marketing is the spray and pray method. That's buying 50,000 random Gmail addresses and just blasting them with a generic promo for, I don't know, cheap sunglasses.
The Dear Sir, Madam nightmare that's in everyone's junk folder.
Exactly. That is dead. It's illegal in a lot of places, and honestly, it just doesn't work. What the Reach Marketing Guide focuses on is strictly B2B, business to business. When you buy this kind of data, you're not just getting an email address, you're buying firmographics.
Firmographics. Break that down for us. I know demographics, but what are firmographics?
Think of it like demographics, but for a company. So you're buying data that says, this is Jane Doe. She's the VP of engineering.
Okay.
She works at a company with 50 to 200 employees. It's located in Austin, Texas, has an annual revenue between 10 and 50 million. And this is the key. They use AWS for their cloud hosting.
Okay, that is not a random list. That is a dossier. That's specific intelligence.
Precisely. You're buying the ability to identify a very specific decision maker who fits your exact ideal customer profile. It's about precision, not volume. You aren't buying a million names, you're buying the right 500 names.
But here's the snag, and I saw this highlighted in the research. Even if I have that perfect dossier Jane Doe in Austin using AWS, I can't just take her email and dump it into my newsletter, can I? Because my first instinct is, great, got her email, let's put her in the weekly blast.
Stop right there. This is the aha moment where I'd say 90% of companies fail. The guide is very, very clear on this. You cannot use standard marketing automation platforms for this data.
You can't use HubSpot, Marketos.
None of them. If you upload a purchase list into HubSpot, MailChimp, Pardot, you are asking for trouble.
Why, though? If I bought the data, isn't it mine to use? Why does the software care?
It's all about the ecosystem. Platforms like HubSpot are built for opt-in audiences,
People who asked to be there.
people who filled out a form and specifically asked to hear from you. Their entire deliverability reputation and the reputation of every other customer on their platform is built on that permission.
Ah.
So if you load 5,000 cold contacts who've never heard of you into their shared IP pools and you get a bunch of spam complaints, you hurt the reputation of everyone on that platform.
So they'll shut you down to protect the herd.
Faster than you can blink. You violate their terms of service and you're gone. Yeah. You need a completely different tech stack for this.
What does that look like?
You need cold email tools or sales engagement platforms. So think tools like Outreach, Sales Loft, or even more specialized cold senders like Instantly or Lemlist. These are designed for one-to-one, text-based, conversational outreach, not flashy HTML newsletters.
That's a crucial distinction. You're not sending a marketing blast with logos and pictures. You are sending a personal sales letter, just at scale.
Exactly.
But it begs the question, if it requires special tools and special data and all this risk, why do it? Why not just write great blog posts and, you know, wait for the leads to come to us?
The cold start problem.
We're an impatient species, aren't we?
In business, patience can be fatal. The source makes a really strong case for speed and scalability. Organic inbound, you know, SEO, content, waiting for referrals, it is the gold standard, absolutely. We're not saying inbound is bad.
Of course not.
But it takes time. It can take 6 to 18 months to build enough domain authority to rank for high-value keywords.
And if I have a sales quota for Q1, I can't really tell the board, just wait till my SEO kicks in next year.
Exactly. The guide lists some really specific use cases where buying data is the only logical move. One is geographic expansion.
Okay.
Let's say you're a successful U.S. company and you want to launch in the U.K. You have zero brand presence there, zero inbound traffic. No one in London has ever heard of you.
You're a ghost.
You are. But you can buy a targeted list of 2,000 potential buyers in London people who match your exact customer profile and start conversations tomorrow. You're validating the market immediately instead of waiting for the market to find you.
I also saw recruiting on the list, which it surprised me at first, but it makes a lot of sense.
It's huge for niche roles. If you need a senior React Native developer with fintech experience, just posting a job ad is passive. You're hoping that person is looking for a job today.
Right.
Buying a list of people with that specific job title lets you headhunt at scale. You go directly to them.
So it's about control. Okay. Inbound is passive. You catch what falls in the net. Outbound, powered by this data, is active. You get to choose who you want to talk to.
Correct. But, and here's the giant asterisk, the flashing red light, doing it fast usually means doing it dangerous.
Which brings us to the most technical and I think the most important part of this deep dive, the infrastructure. The guide calls it safety first, but honestly, it reads like we're setting up a covert ops mission.
It really does. But if you don't treat it that way, you will regret it.
Let's talk about the burner concept, because this was the biggest takeaway for me. It sounds illicit, but it's really just smart IT policy.
Yeah. If listeners remember one thing from this entire discussion, let it be this. Never, ever, ever send cold outreach from your primary corporate domain.
So if my company is deepdive.com, and that's where my CEO sends emails and our invoices come from, I shouldn't touch it.
Do not touch it. That domain is your crown jewel. It has a reputation score with Google and Microsoft. If you start sending cold emails from deepdive.com and you hit a few spam traps or get flagged, your deliverability score tanks.
And suddenly.
Suddenly, your invoices are going to your client's spam folders. Your CEO's emails to investors are just disappearing.
That sounds like a resume-generating event.
It is a career-ending mistake. I've seen it happen. The source recommends setting up secondary sending domains.
Like deepdive-news.com or deepdiveupdates.com, something like that.
Exactly. You buy these domains and you set up redirects. So if someone types them in a browser, they still go to your main website. But for email, they're separate entities. If deepdive-updates.com burns down because of a bad campaign, your main business is completely untouched.
A digital air gap.
Precisely. But here's where people get lazy. You can't just buy the domain on Monday and start blasting on Tuesday. The guide details a process called domain warming.
This sounded tedious, honestly. Is it really that necessary?
It is non-negotiable. Think about it from Google's perspective. A brand new domain appears out of nowhere. It has no history. And then suddenly, it sends 5,000 emails in 1 hour. What does that look like to them?
It looks like a botnet. It looks like a scammer who just spun up a server.
Right. So they block it instantly. Warming up is the process of simulating human behavior. You send, 10 emails the first day, then 20, then 40. You gradually increase the volume over 4 to 6 weeks.
And it's not just sending, right? I read somewhere that you actually need replies too. Because if I send 50 emails and nobody ever replies, that also looks suspicious.
That's the pro tip. A real human inbox receives mail. So during the warming process, you need to generate engagement. There are actually services that automate this, a network of inboxes that email each other and open and reply to your emails to teach Google, hey, this is a legitimate person having conversations.
That is wild. It's like a simulation of a business, a fake business conversation just to prove you're real.
It's necessary hygiene in the algorithm age. And alongside the warming, you have the technical plumbing. The guide mentions three acronyms that everyone glosses over but are essential: SPF, DKMM, and DMR ARC.
The unholy trinity of email deliverability. I feel like I see these in IT tickets and I just ignore them.
Can we translate these into plain English?
Sure. Think of your email like a person trying to get into a high security building, which is someone's inbox.
Okay.
SPF is the guest list held by security. It says, these specific IP addresses are allowed to send email for a deep dive. If you're not on the list, you don't get in.
Got it.
DKIM is like a wax seal on an envelope. It puts a digital signature on the email to prove it wasn't tampered with in transit.
Okay, so it's authentic.
And DMRC is the instruction manual you give to the security guard. It tells them, if this person isn't on the guest list or the seal is broken, here's what you do. Reject them or put them in a holding cell.
So without those, you're basically walking up to a secure building with no ID badge, just claiming you work there.
And you won't even get past the lobby. You'll go straight to spam.
Okay. So we built the bunker. We have our burner domains. They're all warmed up. We have our ID badges. Now we need the ammo. We need the data. But we've all heard the horror stories. Mm-hmm. You buy a list, half the emails bounce, or the people retired 5 years ago.
Quality control is the difference between an investment and a sunk cost. The guide uses Reach Marketing as the case study here, and they make a really sharp distinction between data aggregation and data verification.
What's the difference there? Aren't computers pretty good at aggregation now? I mean, AI is everywhere.
Computers are great at scraping the web and saying, hey, I found an email for John Smith at Acme Corp on this website from 2022. But computers are. They're bad at context. Maybe John Smith left that job 3 months ago. Maybe Acme Corp was acquired. Aggregated data is often dirty or decayed.
And data decay is real. People change jobs all the time.
The stat is something like 25 to 30% of B2B data goes bad every single year. So if you buy a list that's 2 years old, statistically, half of it is just garbage.
So how does a reputable provider fix this? The guide mentions human verification, which sounds expensive.
It's more expensive than a raw scrape, but it's a lot cheaper than the alternative.
Which is?
High bounce rates. And we need to talk about spam traps. This is a concept that actually scares me.
Oh, I love this. It sounds like spycraft. What is a spam trap?
So internet service providers like Google or Yahoo will take old abandoned email addresses, ones that haven't been used in years, and instead of deleting them, they turn them into traps. Hmm. If you send an email to one of these addresses, Google knows immediately that you are not emailing a real person. You are spamming a purchase list.
Because no real human would be using that address anymore. It's a tripwire.
Exactly. Hitting just one spam trap can get your domain blacklisted. And aggregated, unverified lists are just full of these things. That's why the guide emphasizes providers like Reach Marketing, who use actual humans to verify contacts. They call the switchboard. They check LinkedIn manually to see if the profile is active. They verify the person is still in the seat.
So you're paying for the cleanup crew before you even make the mess.
You're paying for insurance. And you should look for replacement policies. If a provider sells you data and it bounces, do they refund you? If not, run away.
That's a great litmus test. Now, I want to pivot to the legal elephant in the room. I feel like every time I open my browser, I have to accept a new cookie policy. Is buying lists even legal in 2026?
That is the question everyone asks. And the answer is, it depends on where your prospect lives.
Geography is destiny.
It is. First, remember the golden rule. B2B is the safe zone. Do not buy lists of consumers B2C to sell them life insurance or sneakers. The regulations there are incredibly strict. You will get sued.
Got it. Stay in the B2B lane.
Now look at the map. In the United States, we operate under CAN spam, and believe it or not, it's actually an opt-out system.
Meaning I can email you first without your permission.
Yes. You don't need prior consent to send the first cold email to a business contact, provided you identify yourself, provide a physical address, and most importantly, include a clear, easy way to unsubscribe. And you have to honor it immediately.
So in the US, it's basically ask for forgiveness, not permission.
Essentially. But then you cross the ocean to Europe and you hit GDPR. This is an opt-in culture. You generally need a lawful basis to process someone's data.
So buying a list to email people in Germany is risky.
Very risky. It can be done, but you need to make sure the data provider collected that data with consent and that you have a legitimate interest argument. It gets legally heavy very fast.
And what about Canada?
Canada has CASL, and it's arguably the strictest in the world. It requires express or implied consent before you send anything. Cold emailing a purchase list in Canada is a great way to get a massive fine.
So the takeaway is, know your jurisdiction. A strategy that works in Texas might get you fined in Toronto.
Exactly. And this is why you need a provider who understands this. If you ask a data broker, is this data GDPR compliant? And they hesitate or say, don't worry about it. Hang up the phone.
Okay, so we have the infrastructure, we have the clean data, and we've checked the map to make sure we aren't breaking the law. Now we actually have to hit send. How do we go from purchase to profit without messing it all up?
The guide outlines a responsible buying process, and step one is actually counterintuitive. Don't go all in.
Dip your toe in first.
Test. Even with a reputable provider. Request a sample file. Buy a small segment, maybe 500 names.
Mm-hmm.
Run it through your own cleaning tools. Manually spot check a few on LinkedIn.
Trust but verify.
Always. Then run a pilot campaign. Do not burn 10,000 contacts in week one. See how the market responds.
And what about the message itself? I feel like this is where people trip at the finish line. They get this high value list, and then they send a flyer that just screams, "BY my stuff."
That is a death of cold email. The guide advises a strategy first approach. You are not trying to close a deal in the first email. You are trying to start a conversation.
So less, here is my pricing PDF, and more, is this a problem you're currently facing?
Exactly. We solved X problem for a company just like yours. Is this relevant to you? Keep it short, keep it text-based, no images. Images trigger spam filters, and keep it value-focused.
And how do we measure if it's working? I assume we're just looking at open rates.
Oh, please, no.
I touched a nerve there, didn't I?
You did! Stop looking at open rates. In 2026, they are a complete vanity metric.
Why? I thought that was the gold standard for years.
It used to be. But privacy features like Apple's mail privacy protection have totally killed it. These tools automatically preload images and emails to hide the user's location. That preloading registers as an open on your dashboard.
So
you might see a 50% open rate, but half of those were just robots, not actual humans.
This dashboard is lying to us.
It is misleading you. You have to look at sales outcomes, look at the reply rate, specifically the positive reply rate. Are people writing back? Are you booking meetings? And ultimately, pipeline contribution.
Right. If I send 1,000 emails, got zero opens according to the tool, but I booked 5 demos with Fortune 500 companies.
Oh.
That's a huge success.
That is a home run. You can't pay your mortgage with open rates. You pay it with closed deals.
That really puts it in perspective.
Yeah.
So bringing this all together, we've gone from viewing buying lists as this shady back alley deal to seeing it as a sophisticated technical lever for growth.
It is a power tool. And like any power tool, a chainsaw, for example, it can help you build a house much faster than a handsaw. But if you don't use the safety guard and you don't wear goggles, you're going to hurt yourself.
The summary seems to be, it's not a crime, but it requires a safety-first architecture.
Mm-hmm.
Secondary domains, authentication, human verification, and just a respect for the recipient.
And importantly, the guide reminds us that this isn't a replacement for organic growth. It's a hybrid approach. You use outbound to hunt while your inbound farm is growing. They feed each other.
I like that balance. It's not binary. You don't have to choose a side.
It never is.
Before we sign off, I want to ask you about a thought that came up while I was reading this. It was kind of a big picture question.
Sure.
We've talked about how the best lists now involve human verification and custom profiling.
Hmm.
It sounds less like buying a product off a shelf and more like hiring a service.
That's a really sharp observation. If you follow that trend line where the data needs to be so fresh and so verified that a human has to check it, the line between buying a list and hiring a lead gen agency is basically disappearing.
Right. You're not buying a spreadsheet anymore. You're buying the labor of someone finding that data for you.
Exactly. And that shift changes everything about how we should budget for this. It's not a software cost anymore. It's almost a headcount cost.
Yeah.
It suggests that the future of data isn't these big static databases. It's on-demand intelligence.
That is a fascinating shift to chew on. Well, on that note, I'm going to go check our SBF records and make sure we aren't landing in spam.
Always a good idea.
Yeah.
And maybe warm up a domain or two while you're at it.
Will do. Thank you for listening to this deep dive. Check your infrastructure, verify your data, and remember, don't be a spammer, be a prospector. We'll see you next time.
Stay safe out there.